This show contains discussions of violence, murder, abuse, suicide, some use of language, and other things that some people may find offensive. We don't recommend Crime Cafe for children under the age of 14. Listener discretion is advised. This case is one of those that you will always think about, never forget, and always feel like something could have been done to stop it. This could have been prevented. The murder of April Dawn Lacey did not have to occur. This is a story about a child who was forced to grow up quickly, the foster care system, drug abuse, and a young girl's fight for love and a family. Why can't we prevent children from being forgotten about? This is the murder of April Dawn Lacey. Welcome or welcome back to this episode of Crime Cafe Podcast. I'm Amber.
I'm Coral. Today we're going to be discussing, once again, this week, a murder of a minor. We didn't mean to plan it this way, but all of our murders this week are going to be children under the age of 14. And this is so hard. This case is so hard.
Yeah. And as sad as it is to bring you all these murders of minors, it's important to remind people that evil like this does exist still.
It does, yeah. And every case is so different. And it's not always the perpetrator that's the only guilty party. And this is a perspective that you guys have never heard before, and it's just incredibly sad but very interesting. So April Lacey was born June 2nd, 1982. April was one of four children born to Jacqueline and Dale Lacey in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. April had a younger brother and two older brothers. This case takes place in 1996 when April was just 14 years old. Just barely 14. She was just 14 in a couple months.
April and her parents lived in the Dover's Inn Motel in Oklahoma City near Interstate 35. The two older brothers, still in their teens, were already on their own, and the younger brother, who was 8 at the time, was placed into the foster care system. April and her parents lived a grim day-to-day life.
April's mom and dad were addicted to hard drugs like cocaine and heroin at the time, and they had been for years. Her dad was also an alcoholic, according to a quote he gave to the Star-Telegram. Dale told the Star that, quote, "At the time, I was a severe alcoholic. There could have been a lot of things I could have done differently. Not drink is one of them. Maybe she'd still be alive if I wasn't drinking," end quote. According to Wikipedia, April told many people that she was being abused by her parents.
Do we know why her brother was put into foster care and not her?
You know, I don't know. I really can't answer that. But I do know that I've seen situations like this where one or a couple of the children are left there.
Really?
Yes. And I don't know if it's because she's older than 13, and I don't know how Oklahoma City laws work. Maybe she's considered, I don't know. I mean, for instance, these hotel people are letting them live there for months with a child living in these conditions with drugs and alcohol and stuff and not letting anything happen.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm sure the hotel workers didn't report.
No, they didn't.
So, April and her parents reportedly lived in this motel for months before April's murder. Her mom was a self-reported sex worker. She felt she had to be one to support her daughter and her drug addiction. April played t-ball at one time and she always said that was the happiest time in her life. She didn't go to school because the school counselor threatened to put her in a group home, but April had a best friend that helped her through a lot of the turmoil in her life.
Imagine T-ball being the best thing to ever happen to you.
How did they pull her out of school? And
I think she just stopped going, and I don't know if Oklahoma has truancy law. I don't know if you guys know what truancy is, but it's like if you don't go to school, you can, your parents can get arrested.
Yeah.
Because you're a truant. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they were just like kind of like getting by the skin of their teeth. I really do. Obviously, this isn't like a normal situation or a legal situation, but they were just getting away with it. She just wasn't going to school. In fact, I remember when I was in school one time, this kid got in trouble for missing a lot of school, and the teacher called him out about it in front of everybody. He starts sobbing, and he's like, "My dad won't let me come to school." And then a couple weeks later, he just never showed back up to school again. So it happens. Kids fly under the radar. They really do.
Yeah.
So April's best friend, Ashley, recalls that April was very sweet, very caring. Ashley would share her bunk beds with April, and she said that April would never judge her for anything. She said that April was like her sister and that she was always with her and her family. And oftentimes she would beg to stay with them because she didn't want to go back to be with her mom. She actually asked Ashley's family if she could take their last name so that she could be a part of the family.
That is so sad. Oh my God. Ashley felt so bad for April. Ashley's mom, Kathy, who had a master's in child studies, asked April to draw a picture. April drew in crayon a large house with stick figures off to the side. Each of the figures had large, sad faces drawn on them. April wrote on the photo, "This is my family. The reason I'm not in this picture, because I'm never around and they don't care whether or not I'm with them or at my best friend's house." That is so pitiful.
Nobody cares about this little girl except Ashley's family. And I literally am, like, so gutted over that. Ashley's family reportedly started legal proceedings in order to gain custody of April, but the petition to gain custody failed. They said that they had a court day for the petition, and the day they were supposed to go to court, Ashley heard a knock at the door and opened it to find April's mother and some police officers behind her, and they took April from the family, and Ashley said that was the last time she saw her friend April.
Oh my goodness. What? Why did her mom do that? Because she clearly didn't.
She couldn't take care of her.
Yeah, they were living in a motel. Not that that means you aren't taking care of your kid.
Riddle me this, though. Why do parents, knowing they don't have a pot to piss in, do that to their children and take them away from a situation that's good?
I don't know.
Why do they have to why do they have to win?
I don't know. And why couldn't you literally just, like, sign your child over if someone is trying to help them?
Honestly, that's the best thing you can do sometimes.
Yeah. Because nobody wants to fail as a parent, is really what it comes down to, is you get so blinded by your own, like, want and need to be good enough and do good enough that you can't see what is good enough for, or not good enough, but what is best for your child.
Has to be. That has to be the reason.
And you think, I think a lot of times too, it's like, I'm their parent, I know what's best. Because I've read a lot of stuff on, like, Am I the Asshole on Reddit. And it's a lot of parents, and it's like they might be in a situation and they just think they know what's best.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what, I know what and want what is best for my child.
Right.
Think that's a lot of it. But anyway, in early September of 1996, Jacqueline noticed that her daughter had been gone away from the home long enough that she was worried enough that she actually called the police and reported her missing. And we don't even know how long she was gone for or what she was doing, but Jacqueline said she came home a few days later and she called Oklahoma City Police and told them she came home. Then April reportedly disappeared in early October 1996, a few weeks later. Oh
So
no.
she disappeared first in like December, but then she said she's back, and the police are like, okay.
No, not December.
I mean, September. So the police are like, okay, if you say she's back, she's back. But then she was missing in early October. Jacqueline said she waited about a week for April to come home, but she never showed back up. Jacqueline has made it very clear that she knows her lifestyle made an impact on April, and she believes her daughter was also dabbling in sex work. After the week passed, she finally submitted a missing persons report.
I've seen a couple cases recently I've heard about where they went missing and then like returned and then went missing again. And I feel like that's so awful because then when you like look up anything you see found
Yeah.
and see people heard, oh, she's found, and then you see a poster a few weeks later saying missing or hear something, but you're like, oh no, she was found.
It's confusing.
Jacqueline and Dale were both suspects initially, as they should be, and they were questioned for 14 hours, according to Dale. They looked at those closest to April 1st. Police couldn't really find too many leads within the family, so they had to look elsewhere. Police soon find out that April herself was, in fact, doing drugs and was beginning to live a grim lifestyle like her parents.
It was on October 8th, 1996, that a rancher on his land near Slidell, Texas, almost 200 miles from Oklahoma City, would find the discarded body of a young girl in the brush. She had no tattoos, no jewelry, and they couldn't tell what color her eyes were at the time because her eyelids were tightly closed. They could tell almost immediately by the fact that her skin color had a slight purple tint that she was most likely strangled and she had no obvious wounds. And she was laying on her stomach.
Captain David Walker of the Wise County Sheriff's Office listed her as Brush Girl in his reports and sent the body to the Tarrant County Morgue for autopsy. The medical examiners had deemed Brush Girl's death a homicide due to possible strangulation. The forensic entomologist at the University of North Texas told Walker that the body had been there for at least 7 days, but as much as 3 weeks.
Remember that.
David checked local disappearance reports to find similarities between Brush Girl and the disappearances, and while he did find one promising lead, it didn't pan out.
Because Brush Girl was found in a popular dove hunting area, there were several tire tracks and spent shotgun shells scattered about. And I looked up whether, like, what kind of gun people use for dove hunting, and it is a shotgun, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Captain Walker took tire impressions and gathered the shells for evidence just in case he needed them.
Was she shot with birdshot, though?
She wasn't shot at all,
Oh.
but he just wanted just in case. And according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, 100 cloth scraps were tossed aside the body from like some oil men discarding them after they used them, like just throwing it in the field, and an empty beer can under a rusted tractor, which was later connected to a Hunter. So I'm so glad that this detective is like gathering the evidence, even though he knows she's not.
Yeah, for real.
Shot.
So for the next 2 years, Dave ran down thousands and thousands of leads, looked through national databases, and put boots to the ground, hoping to find Brush Girl's family. But he didn't have any luck.
No, and the medical examiners gave him a specific age of the victim by examining the teeth. They found something extremely specific, a third set of molars. And they created a composite sketch of what the victim might look like, which we have on our Instagram, of course. It wouldn't be until April 1999, a little over 2 years since Brush Girl was found, that they found similarities between Brush Girl and April Lacey in an updated missing persons database. They compared Brush Girl's dental x-rays with that of April's, and they matched.
After she's identified, we learn more about her last moments. One school night, April and her mother stayed up late watching TV. The next morning, Jacqueline was in the parking lot, leaning on the passenger side door of a car while someone was sitting in the driver's seat. April told her mom she needed to talk to her. Her mom said, "We can talk when I get back." And April said, "No, I need to talk to you now." Her mother stepped into the car and April said, "If you leave, you'll never see me again." And they drove away as April flipped her mother and the driver the bird.
We learned this years later, of course. I don't know if the police knew that, but the public knows it.
Oh, okay.
Years later.
Okay.
That's telling.
Yeah.
It pains me that she wouldn't go talk to her daughter.
I know.
I will say that kids will literally beg for your attention for literally anything. Yeah. You could say, just hold on. I'm going to the gas station or something. I'll talk to you when I get back. But anyway, when you know what happened to April, there's no excuse for it.
It sounds like, honestly, it sounds like maybe she ran away as like,
I know,
revenge and then something.
I know. Jacqueline said she returned 45 minutes later at 11:30 a.m. and April was gone. She left behind a new purse, her makeup, and a pack of Marlboro cigarettes. Marlboro? Is it Marlboro?
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 I don't say it right, Marlboro? But I say Marlboro cigarettes.
Marlboro? Anyway. She left behind all that stuff, and she would not be seen alive again.
Well, that doesn't sound like a runaway, actually, now.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't leave your new purse and your makeup or your cigarettes.
No.
The cigarettes especially, because you're going to have a nicotine withdrawal pretty quick.
Yeah. And she's already an addict at this age. Yeah. So she would need to take those.
Yeah. And, well, back then she probably could just buy her own. I don't know. In the 90s, they were probably getting kind of strict.
Yeah. It was almost 2000.
Tobacco, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, after the identification of April, detectives set the parents down to tell them Brush Girl was actually April. They asked, "Did your daughter bite her nails?" They said, "Yes." They asked, "Did she have an overbite?" They said, "Yes." They asked, "Could this be her?" As they held up the sketch, they immediately said, "No. The chin is too rounded, the hair is too long, the nose is too big, this isn't her." So investigators asked, "Could you be wrong about the dates of her disappearance? Or could they have been so high that they killed their daughter and they didn't remember?" They said no, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. And the investigator said that they adamantly denied that even when they described Brush Girl and told them that her dental records matched the x-rays, they were like, that's not her. That's not her. The parents took the drawing home and stowed it away in a nightstand drawer. There were other things that confirmed Brush Girl's identity as well, not just her teeth. April had fell off a bike when she was 12, and a doctor took x-rays of her skull to make sure she was okay. Those x-rays matched Brush Girl's, and Brush Girl's body was also the same, like, approximate weight and height of April's.
That's so, I mean,
They know it's their fault. We find out later more, but they knew it was their fault. Yeah. And they're like, that can't be her. Because they knew they had something to do with it. I mean, not something to do with it. They knew that they were responsible for letting her live this life.
Yeah.
Giving her that life.
So the parents refused to believe that Brush Girl was April. They went so far as to have DNA testing done to confirm it for sure. Finally, it was confirmed through DNA that Brush Girl was April Lacey.
And they didn't do DNA on everybody back then. Remember? Because we did have it, but like...
I'm so shocked that her parents would deny that it was her so adamantly.
It's strange.
Even though...
Did she bite her nails? Does she have an overbite? You know,
yeah, this is...
Same hair color and stuff.
This is one of the saddest moments in the case, because before they could claim their daughter's body, after it having laid in the morgue for almost 3 years, the Lacys both went to jail on separate drug charges. They both served their sentences and were released in the spring of 2003, 3 years after the identification of their daughter. And over 5 years after her death, they finally put her to rest in a simple grave in a family plot in Mount Olivet Cemetery in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. A little over 20 people attended her service.
Dale Lacey would end up dying a year later after they buried her due to complications from asbestos exposure from being a handyman. He had mesothelioma and he was 51 years old. As far as we know, April's mom and her siblings are still alive. I couldn't find anything on Ancestry or anything. April Lacey's murder remains unsolved. However, some have speculated that she may be connected to the Redhead murders or the Redhead serial killer. We've covered those cases last week if you want to check it out, episode 30. Which is not how I found this case, by the way. It's just an extra detail.
Interesting.
But her murders were like a decade after those, so they were like, it's not really.
Yeah. It's so sad. It feels like once they identified her, nothing was put into it.
Literally.
To this day, her mother denies that her daughter was being sex trafficked or that her daughter was involved with sex work at all.
But she had told people that she thought that she was.
Well, and it would only really make sense.
Yeah, and now she's like, no, she wasn't.
Well, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I don't blame, because you don't want it out there probably that your daughter at 14 was in sex work, because that doesn't reflect
anything
good about you. So, some members of the police force have stated that her mother may be more knowledgeable about the murder than she has provided. Is there strong evidence that Jacqueline had served as a pimp for her daughter? By the state of April's remains, it is also believed that she had been missing for longer than reported, as it appeared that she had died at least a week before instead of 5 days, which makes sense because in some reports it says she went missing on October 3rd. But she was found October 8th and could have been there between 7 days and 3 weeks. This is the case of April Dawn Lacey.
Interesting. Amber shooketh.
I feel like she might have never even came home, like, from the first.
Me too. And I think that her mom does know who she ran off with. I think she put her on in somebody's truck and was trafficking her for money.
Yeah, it was an accident, I think.
I think she was like, go off with this person. You don't even have to take your stuff. You're just going to be gone a little bit, and then he'll bring you back. And never brought her back.
Well, then you wouldn't let your daughter take a new purse and cigarettes and...
No, and it said in the news report that the pack of cigarettes was shared between April and Jacqueline.
Yeah.
So she's like, don't even take this. Don't take nothing. You're literally going for 2 seconds. She probably doesn't know the guy.
And I hate this because, like, there's nothing. Like, that's it.
There's absolutely no reports after this.
No leads, no suspects, mm-hmm. like, no anything.
All they say is they think it might be a serial killer. That's all they've said.
Yeah, and they literally don't have any... And that's the sad thing. It's like, that's probably just one of these cases that will never be solved, or it would be like a deathbed confession type deal.
Yeah.
And then with those, they're very fascinating. If you've never listened to some, like, deathbed confessions,
mm-hmm.
look some up and listen to them. They can be really interesting, but there's no way to confirm.
And to get a parent
really
to admit something like that, even on their deathbed, you'll never get it.
No, I meant maybe, like, the person that really killed her, Montel.
Maybe.
Depending. Or somebody could have seen something.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
And just not know.
I'm sure they did. People in the hotel saw it. They were right across the hall from the desk at the hotel. I'm sure someone in another room has seen something.
That's if her mom didn't take her somewhere and
mm-hmm.
find a man somewhere other than the motel.
Right. I don't know if they had a car or what.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel bad because I feel bad because I don't really have any empathy for her parents.
No.
And I feel bad about that.
One thing that is very frustrating to me, though, is like, okay, her two older brothers who were teenagers were out of the house or the motel, whatever, taking care of themselves.
They're teenagers still.
When they, yeah, probably shouldn't have been. You know, the parents probably still should have been responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Then the 8-year-old brother is taken and April's just left.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't go to school.
I just don't understand. And I'm sorry, but if I was her best friend's parents, when I never saw her again, I would have had to have done something.
Well, the petition failed, and then the law come and got her.
But
So who could you trust?
Couldn't she still, like, call in a wellness check and just say, like, please?
I'm sure. But there's probably a lot of times they weren't even there. Because they were out doing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're probably not trying to sit at a motel all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
This is so frustrating, and it's frustrating because there's nowhere to look or, like...
I know, and, like, he was just on... she was found on this hunter's property 200 miles away. Think of how many witnesses, you know? And she didn't get enough recognition that she should have gotten... There was a bunch of newspaper articles, but she didn't get enough because it's not mentioned anymore. And her parents were drug addicts, alcoholics. April was getting into drugs and stuff. sex work was so stigmatized back then. And let me tell you something, okay? Sex work, you are not a sex worker at 14. That's not a sex worker. That's somebody who's being molested.
Yes.
And, like, turned out by somebody. It's not something you do willingly and that you even have the ability to consent to.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely ridiculous. And I do think her mom knows more. And I think she tried to play the part of, like, the grieving mother who was like, oh no, that's not my child. That wouldn't have happened to Lacey. Yeah, it would have. Yeah, it would have. Because you let her go wherever she wanted or whatever you wanted her to go. You let her have drugs. You let her stay out from school.
Yeah, I just can't believe like that denial.
I know. If you didn't, I'm not saying you directly strangled her, but you had something to do with what happened to her.
Yeah, I don't think her mom, like, purposely.
No, you probably didn't want her to die. I feel bad that her child is murdered. I do. That's horrible for any mother.
Yeah.
But you had so little regard and care for her life. She wanted to take her best friend's last name. She didn't want to come home. She begged to stay with her friend.
And then you ripped her from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By legal force.
Yeah.
And what... They're the only people... that family is the only people that I could find that tried to do anything for this girl.
Yeah, like what... I don't understand what her mom got out of taking her away from him. I just don't get that.
Me either. And I don't understand how she could just not go to school.
I know. Even then. You have to be being homeschooled or something. Like, didn't there have to be some proof that she was getting some kind of an education?
I reckon. I don't know how that works or worked over there. And I'm sure there are so many details that we don't have. We don't have the teacher's perspective. We don't have the school's perspective. We don't know how she was coming to school or what her school life was.
Well, I can't believe the counselor had, like, threatened to call the police and then when she stopped showing up, didn't.
There should be no threats. If your child,
yeah, literally. They
don't show up, you assume they're dead. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I thought the threats were probably because she was like, they could tell she was probably neglected.
Yeah, right.
And that's why they threatened and then they just didn't send her back.
It takes nothing to call CPS and make sure a child is okay.
But I guess, too, they probably knew that her brother had been taken and figured...
that she was taken?
No, that if she needed to be, she would have been. I mean, I would probably be inclined to think that, like, well, if her brother was taken, which most of them probably knew.
There is a chance that that report is false out of that newspaper, and they didn't... threaten that they actually did. We don't know where we're getting any of this.
That's true.
Like, I don't know where the newspaper is getting any of that. We're just reporting, like, what they said.
Yeah, of course.
It could be totally different than what we think.
Yeah, yeah.
And also about the last moments of her life where she was like, I need to talk to you and stuff. I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like from her mom.
Right. Who knows how true that is.
Yeah.
So, making it seem like her daughter ran away.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have. She would have taken her stuff.
I think even now, you see a lot of... parents that could be responsible that say that want to make it look like a runaway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of parents have also realized the sad truth is that if something happens to their child or they do something to their child, that if they're really tight-lipped and, I mean, a lot of parents don't get charged with anything because they just don't have the evidence.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Summer Wells' parents. I'm not saying they're...
It can look really shady.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're involved, but they look shady, but there's nothing. You can't prove anything because there's no evidence that they did anything.
We would have so many more people locked up if we went on gut feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, if we went on gut feeling, you would probably have a lot of people in jail for the same thing.
Yeah.
Like the same murder, because
a lot of people are creepy.
People think this and this. And
we hope you guys, I hate saying enjoyed, I feel that's like not the right word, but I hope you guys liked this episode.
Yes.
It's a hard week.
Yeah, and this really needs some kind of exposure. I mean, really.
Right.
All of the case, I mean, every case ever needs exposure. But this one is an older case. And the older the case is, the less time they have to have anything happen.
Right. And if her mother's still alive, she needs to be questioned or brought to justice, or if she's not involved, she needs to be like excluded. I couldn't find whether or not she's alive or not. So if you guys like this case, let us know. But other than that, we're not doing bullshit and banter today. We've done enough of that this week.
But we will talk to y'all later. Bye. Bye.
You can find Crime Cafe on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Crime Cafe Pod.
And you can email us case suggestions at crimecafepod@yahoo.com.
Click our merch link below if you want to get some Crime Cafe shirts, decals, or coffee mugs.
We also have a Goodreads profile in the show notes below. There you will find all of the books that we have mentioned or recommend on our show. It's free and no membership is required to see our library.
This episode and all of our episodes are researched, recorded, and edited by us, Corey and Amber.
All of our opinions are our own. Although we try to make these episodes as accurate as possible, some statements may be inaccurate.